It's so great to be here. Isn't it amazing that God's children will travel from all different directions from all over the world to get it to be together, hear what God has to say, share testimonies, love and hug on each other, and it's real. Completely different than an Amway meeting. Completely different. It's eternal. As you have heard, next week, 40 years with my wife. It's wonderful, and it gets better. We've been traveling from Indiana here for the convention. We drive out, and it was really fun. This time, we always pack a picnic lunch and stop halfway, have a little picnic. And then there's the, what outlet is that? Hagerstown outlet. We always stop there and pull in there, and I love it. And we have our cell phones, you know, and she goes her way and I go my way. Just looking around, and I walk into the Gap. It's a place I haven't been in years. And I see this sign, skinny jeans. I'll try a pair. So I go up to this 20-something salesperson, and I said, I would like to try on a pair of skinny jeans, size 40 waist. And he looks at me like my dog looks at me. He's just going. And so after he regained his composure, he said, I think we have one pair in the back in your size. Let me check. He comes back with these jeans. I get them, and I got to go into the changing room. You know that changing room, what they're like. Like a door halfway up and then halfway down. Just to cover, you know, that the important parts. So And there's no place to sit. So what I do is I get my regular man pants off. And I get these things opened up. And the first leg was pretty good. I got it pushed down in there. The problem came when I try to get the second leg in. So I haven't had my leg up this high in years. So I get my leg up like this, and I got my head leaning on the wall. I try and get my leg crammed down in these, and here's what happens. My foot, instead of going straight down, it gets lodged halfway in this. I don't know what to do. The next thing is even worse. I'm trying to work my foot down in with all of my might. I get the biggest Charlie horse right here in the back of my leg. I'm dying. So this is what happens. I try and stand up to get some sort of composure. Now I'm looking like the number four. I'm looking like this. And so I stand up, and I'm saying, help me, Jesus. Give me a little bit. I go to reach over on this wall, but I don't quite hit it because I'm at a 45-degree angle. My hand slides down the wall. I'm off on the floor, and my arm is out in the shopping area. I hear this still small voice saying, "Are you all right in there?" I said, "Everything is fine in here." I finally get set up. My back is against the wall. I'm trying to pull these things off that are like attacking me like a boa constrictor. The only thing I can think, I want these things off of me and out of my life. I don't need them. It's like something that I don't need. I just don't need them. So I got them off. I folded them up. I handed them back to the person, and he said, "Should I put these in a bag?" "No, thank you. I have to catch up with my wife." And I told my wife, and now 40 years being married to me, I told her, and she just is sitting there going like this. That's it. That's the relationship. The reason we're married 40 years and she hadn't kicked me out of the house, I came to this realization. She's a hoarder. She won't get rid of anything. So anyway, Father, just bless this time. Bless your people. Give us peace. Give us peace. Turn our ears toward the kingdom. Open our hearts that we can receive. Let us store your words up and your thoughts up in our spirit. We give you this prayer knowing that you hear it. We give it to you in Christ's name. Amen. I love this verse in Romans 6. You've all heard it 1,000 times, but try and listen to it a different way this time. Because everything is new. Everything is fresh. Nothing is old. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, from the Father, we too live a new life. Isn't that the most amazing thing? That we are new creations in Christ. All things are passed away. We are new. We are a new creation, a new man. This just blows my mind. I remember when I was a teenager, I bought this old car, and it was my fault. I was waving at some hot chicks when I was about 16. I wasn't paying any attention to what was in front of me, and I ran into the back of a city bus. And I didn't get hurt, but I want to get my car fixed. Got to get my car fixed. Got to have some vehicle that I can use to go to the drive-in movies and go to the skating rink and do all the things that I need to do. And the insurance man came out and said, "Your car is totaled. We can't fix it. We're going to get you a new one." Isn't that the way we were? We were totaled. And Christ said, "You know what? We're not going to try and fix this. We're going to crucify it. We're going to total it. And we're going to give them new life. We're going to give them new life." And this is just, to me, I linger in that. And it's just something that I can't get over. And I don't think Christ wants me to get over it. I think this rejoicing. I can sit around and think about rejoicing in the Lord, and I think about all the things that He has given me and the way He sees me as a new person, perfect. I can do that until my wife says, "Are you going to sit around all day or are you going to help me?" But it's wonderful that He made us a new creation. You know, He refuses to deal with the old man. Because He's dead. He's dead. He loves dealing with the new man. He loves it. Because the new man is so attentive and agreeable. And He can work with the new man. I remember one time, and I get so jacked up on Jesus that I go out, and I want to talk to somebody. I'm excited. You know, and I see this person, an old person, maybe older than me. Not very many of those around, you know. And I see this person, he's just sitting there, and I said, "Hey, do you know Jesus? Isn't He great?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I go to this church high up on the hill over here on, you know, in that county." I said, "What's Christ doing in your life?" And he just goes, "What?" I said, "What's going on in your life?" He goes, "Well, we're repaving the church parking lot in August." And isn't that crazy? The way so many born-again believers live in this old man with those old thoughts and those old bad habits, and they get into this thing and they just live in it. When Christ says, Hey, why don't you live in that new man? Why don't you live in that thing that I've given you? Why don't you start seeing yourself the way I see you? Why don't you?" It's a great, great provision that we have. You know, God isn't going to deal with, nor should He deal with our sins. He dealt with them 2,000 years ago, and it was dealt with perfectly and completely. Listen to this. What He wants us to deal with is the righteousness that He has given to us. Deal with that. You work on that. And God says, "I'll be here to help you. Just linger. Just linger in those promises. Linger in His Word. Let the Holy Spirit teach us." You know, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, you know that one? They named Him that because He knew a lot of times in our life it's not going to be very comfortable. But here He is. When we go to sleep, the Holy Spirit never sleeps. He's feeding us stuff while we sleep. He never rests. He never sleeps. He's 24/7 on us because He loves us. And when we get up in the morning, we go, "Wow, what a great God thought." We thought it was our idea. It's the Holy Spirit that's been feeding us all night. And we come into that. That's how we start our day. We can't help it. We just do because we're a new creation in Christ. To see ourselves the same way that God sees us is perfect and righteous. You know, I get a lot of phone calls from people. Hey, can I meet you at Starbucks or someplace? I got to talk to somebody. And you gave me a card one time and said, if I ever wanted to talk, call you, and here I am. Yeah, sure. These are born-again Christians. These aren't people that aren't saved. Come with me. Oh, my wife and my job, and I'm working in a toxic place in my workplace. First time somebody told me they were working in a toxic workplace, I thought they were working in a chemical factory. That's how old school I am. Chemical factory, it's toxic. And I thought, I responded, well, get out of there. Get out of there. Why would you work in a toxic chemical factory? And they go, no, it's like the people's attitude. The attitude is toxic. I went to Vietnam and I had people shooting at me that didn't even know me. That's toxic. Listen. What do we expect as born-again Christians living here in this world? Are we going to get a hall pass? Mm-mm. This world is toxic. We are the light. We have Christ. We are hidden in Christ. We have the message to the lost. We have the message to the toxic workplace. We have that message of forgiveness to people who are suffering. We have that. It's been given to us. We are not lacking. We are not lacking. We've been given everything. We've been given everything. This is the reason that we were created, to go out and tell this broken world that there's a different way. There's the God way. I walked up to somebody one time. Actually, he came to me and he was just talking to me. And all this garbage is coming out of his mouth. And it's just negative this in the world. And I said, just sit down and relax. Just chill. I said, I want you to know that there's someone that loves you and you don't even know who he is. And once you come into the understanding of who he is, I said, you're still not going to believe how much he loves you. And you know what this guy did? Man, the Holy Spirit was there, just dripping all over this guy. This guy just goes like this. Just breaks down. It's just like one of those Benny Hinn moments where it goes, you know, and everybody fall down. Well, it was only one person there. But anyway, he just sort of relaxed. He just relaxed. I got to share with him, and he's still talking. I said, who am I listening to? Am I listening to the old man or am I listening to the new man? Who's speaking? Because I'm not going to drop $350 on the old man for a cup of coffee. I'll buy the new man a cup of coffee. I will do that. Our life is not our own. Our life is not our own. When we allow this transformation in our thinking to take place, it's a wonderful thing. Experiencing God's vision, seeing through His eyes, is not only about the direction we are going in, but it's the height that He wants to lift us up in. It's not just we're cruising through life, born again Christian, not doing much, going to church on Sunday. Maybe we can get talked into a Bible study or something like that if it doesn't interfere with our life. And we just kind of sit around as born-again Christians waiting in the bus station, waiting for the glory bus to come and haul us off to heaven. That's no life. We should be excited. We can't wait to tell somebody. Because it worked for me. I'm a new man. I'm a new man. I got the hookup. I got the hookup. I can go straight to God. You know what? And he's really, it's right here. Well, did you hear me? I hope you got that. That's the way we are. He lives in us. What are we lacking? What is it that we are missing? Oh, I've been searching for peace. You got peace. Why don't you use it? Huh? Oh, I wish I had joy. You got joy. You got the entire package of everything you need to live a joyous, fruitful life right here and be infectious where it drops off onto other people and they don't even know what's going on. They just think you're a nice guy, but they see something they've never seen before. How many of you have experienced that? Where somebody just starts talking to you and you go, wow, this is, I don't even know, but I'm liking it. I'm digging it. Don't you love it when the first two disciples walked up and said, Rabbi, where do you live? He didn't give them an address or an email address. He said, come on, follow me. This is what I have. I got a bunch of ragamuffins at my church that I can't get rid of. I can't get rid of, and I love that. You know, because they all know who they are now, because this is the kind of message that's preached from my church's pulpit. You're not who you think you are. You're who God says you are. Yeah. If God says I'm perfect, woohoo, I'm perfect. I'm not going to argue with him. Why should I? He's the boss. I want to give you one more thing. I hate AA meetings. I hate them. I'm not an alcoholic, but I've watched that. You ever see in these AA meetings? Hi, my name's Dave. I'm an alcoholic. They ought to try that Jesus thing. Hi, I'm Dave. And Jesus Christ transformed me into a new creation. All things are new. Old things have been passed away. He doesn't look at them, and I'm not going to either. It's so glad to be alive. I'm so glad to be alive. I'm so glad to be kept. I'm so glad to be taught. I'm so glad to be loved. I'm so glad that I can meet another believer. And that Holy Spirit in them and the Holy Spirit in me, we just start. It's just this thing, and you all know what it is, and I can't name it. It's just this fellowship that happens. And within 10 seconds, it's like we've been friends for years and years and years. We know each other. There's no skin color, no gender, no address, no social level, nothing. I love coming here because the only thing I see is smiling faces, and we know we're in Christ. We know we're in Christ. Now, before I get the hook, I just want to say one last thing. Pastor Stevens used to say that people come up here, well, I've sinned, and I'm sin. I'm in this sin. And Pastor Stevens said, well, I wouldn't hang around it too long. Get away from there and catch up with Jesus. Catch up with Jesus. Don't linger over that thing and look at it. Get out of there. It's toxic. And it is. I want to tell you this in closing, that God is not interested in making the bad man good. You hear that? He's not interested, at all interested, in making the bad man good. He's interested, his only interest, is to make the dead man live. And that's who we are. And that's who we are in. Amen. And God bless your hearts wherever you have to go back to. And we love you.
First, want to thank Pastor Harry Weisskopf for his steadfastness. When you drive a stake in the ground, when you plant a flag, you never leave it. That is ground fought and won for. So thank you, Pastor Harry. Pastor Schaller, thank you for the opportunity. When I hear his voice, I can't help but see his grin. And when he asks you to do something, you hop, skip, and jump. And you do it. So, wow. I hope to share with you an inclination, an outlook, maybe bring that into its proper focus, and then have a divine viewpoint for action. It's so important in today's environment. But first, I want to say, where's my wife, Nicole? You want to stand, sweetheart? And she doesn't want to stand. I can search, if you search the whole world, there would be none other that my heart would long for and rejoice at. Thesaurus, Tyrannosaurus Rex, beast. That's sometimes the day just makes me feel like a raging bull. But when I hear her voice, it's like that rejoice. You relax. You relax. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Help us as we're crying, Lord. We don't know what's good for us times, Lord. We cry and we say no. But it's the word that we need to eat. Help us to eat it, Lord. In your name, amen. So I know you want to hear good news about Chicago. You want to hear good news about when I first heard or read this theme. But to be honest, I rebelled in my heart about the theme. Rejoice always in all things. Rejoice inherent in that word always is that it's every when. At every when, at every moment, that I'd be able to rejoice. I looked at some of our recent events of what happened in our church. Pastors, we our hearts, they go out. We want to see every single person grab hold of that new life. It's like Pastor Barnes said, the skinny jeans, they look tempting, but they can't dress up the old man. You just have to let them go aside. We had one of our congregants, you know, you say, I grab hold of salvation. Donnie even knows it. I grab hold of salvation, Mike. Mike was missing just last week, and now he's in Waukegan, like an hour away, and he doesn't even want to come home. We had another person that, with us for years, leaves because you're addressing a situation in love to build them up. ready to go. We've had deaths, untimely deaths, overdose of a young person to cry out, to have to write. What do I say to someone? It's a high schooler. What do I say? Rejoice in that situation. Again, I say rejoice. In December, I had to confront fellow clergy members. They didn't understand categorical doctrine, delegated authority, telling the police how to do their job when they have no context or understanding, when they should be supporting them and helping them through a situation. Then in January and February, within 3 weeks, two more deaths. What do I write in the card? I think for all three, I wrote the same thing. Revelation 21, 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. What does that do for the here and now? How does that help them now? That in one day in the future, you're going to forget everything that's happened now and it's all going to be better? Forget everything that's happening now? Why would God put me through it now if I'm going to forget it later? But there was one good thing that happened recently. I ran a 5K. I think I had Philippians 4:13 on the back. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. You see, in football, when I was in football, the long distance running that we did it to failure. Like the coach, you will run until you die. And the last person standing, there's the Titan, there's the Spartan. And I had to wear a harness and have an old tire, drag an old tire, because I was the fullback. Or we did ladder suicides, back and forth, 5 yards back, 10 yards back, until you puke. The 5K was awesome. Because we had a finish line. And when you cross the finish line, you're like, yes, I did it. I won. It was awesome to feel that. I had to train for the 5K. And it brought something into a whole new perspective. That in all things and through all things, I can rise up and rejoice. Let's read these scripture again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no death, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Let's couple that with 1 Corinthians 13. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is what Christ will do at the end when we see him face to face. And he wipes away the tears from our eyes. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now, I know in part. But then, I shall know even as I am known. You see, we will know what we went through as Christ knows why we're going through what we're going through right now. We'll have an understanding of what it means to endure, to rise up and rejoice at the weight of the course. Just as it says in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, where we say that it's for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. As Pastor Tomas said, that hupomeo, like that Christ was underneath, but then he rose up and he pierced through the pain. He pierced through everything that the old sin nature could throw against it. This is what we should do. Endure the weight, bear it, and rejoice. Just like Joseph, what you thought would be my ruin, God meant for good. And it was the very mechanism by which I was raised to save many people. Can we endure the course? Next, rise up, rejoice, and rejoice at the weight of the opposition. I thought I was doing great at the 5K. I was doing so good. We had to do 2 laps. And I knew that from the first lap, that near the end, there was a downhill portion. And at the downhill portion, I was going to lengthen my stride and finish like fireworks were going to go. And people are like, wow, that's amazing. Holy cow. So just as I'm strengthening and lengthening my stride, you're going to like this, Pastor Barnes. I hear and I see the shadow just. And then I hear, don't let this 67-year-old show you up. And then I had to whole new, press it in, lift those knees, get going. That pain I feel, it's nothing. It's light. This light affliction will work for me in eternal weight of glory. If I could just go. This is true for us. The weight of the opposition. Bear it. Love it. We can rise above it even though we've been below it, because by rising through the opposition, then we show the opposition that there is something far greater than what we can see or hear or think. It's divine. We have a promise. We have a promise. Finally, we can rise up and rejoice that the dirty old serpent has been judged. Do you know that he's been judged? And the victory is ours. Just as Pastor Schaller was speaking last night about in Malachi 3 about having the wrong perspective. The proud? Is it vain to serve the Lord? Wait. Go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 says, illustrates something. We all went to Ocean City before we came. If you want a worldwide impact in 3 days, go to Ocean City. And one day we spoke to a Bulgarian, a Romanian, a Serbian, an Indian, and someone from the Dominican Republic. That's our excuse for going to Ocean City. We want to. But I fried like bacon. Fried like bacon. And I wondered, why me, Lord? Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day comes that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. And then it says in verse 2, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Calves of the stall? That means you get fed good. You get fed good because you're in the stall. That's what one translation says, that you're in the barn. You can have all the food that you can eat. Another commentary in John Gill writes that it's really a yoke, that I've been properly yoked to God. And then I can make it through. We can make it through. We keep going. We keep pressing on. The one that left because they were afraid of maybe why we spoke to him a certain way. He's here today. Richard is here today. He came back. And not only did he come back, he said, I'm going to put out the signs. And then he prayed and he said, we should have a bus for the church. He got a $50 minivan and he picks up people, but he's here today. The family of the one that OD'd, we have a couple family members faithfully in the church. And at the deepest, darkest hour, I received something here. Jack, hi, how are you? I've been thinking about you often because you led me back to the Lord. And praise God, I'm still with the Lord. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on the right track today. Thank you, Lord, for Jack. It's a privilege to bear the weight. It's a privilege to bear the course. We can continually rise up and rejoice. The day is at hand. There will be those that will burn in the oven. But that's the demons. That's the dirty old serpent. We will be able, we're going to give him a heel meal. It says that. We get to give Satan a heel meal. Isaiah 14. And where else? Isaiah 35. We will all be conquerors. Amen.
Let's stand for the word, please. You can stand up one more time. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to do something. There's the word greatly rejoice is the word agaleo. And I want everybody to do, well, not every, if you're wearing skinny jeans, don't do this. It will hurt. It means to jump for joy. Can we jump for joy, everybody? Come on, jump for joy. Agaleo. Amen. Rejoice greatly. Yes. You know, one other thing, Pastor Barnes, we've been married, coming, 34 years. But I've learned one thing, and this is great advice for all you young married. Never, never, never leave your wife at the mall. That was the problem. It wasn't trying it on. It was the problem of leaving her, splitting up. You don't know what you get into. So, let's listen to the Word of God. Convention stretches our capacity. Teriyaki chicken will be there just a little longer. So, in your Bible, Psalm 30. Verse 5, and I've heard this a few times, but we're going to talk about it. The second part, the B part. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you. Bless these words to us. Speak to our hearts in a way that only you can do. It's so wonderful to receive the words from God from a finished work perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. After hearing amazing men of God that it's just wonderful even to call them friends, but to hear the portions that we've heard so far, I've come to a conclusion that there's a connection, there's a close correlation, relationship between joy and trouble. And, you know, we don't want to separate it. You know, we would rather have joy. I mean, how many people here would rather have trouble than joy? Look at the hands, turn around. No, we want trouble, but or we want joy, but that trouble is there. And I made the mistake by 2 days ago when I found out that I was coming here that I wanted to know the meaning of weeping that endures for a night. And we don't want to go there. Because some of us carry a lot of troubles in their hands. A lot of weight. We carry them. And even in our mind, even in our thinking, these thoughts that come into our mind of trouble and fear and rejection. And I've heard people even say it's so hard to have joy when you're oppressed or even depression. Oppression pushing you down. Depression pushing you in. Closing in on us. But joy is coming in the morning. That joy is coming. But we had to go through that night season. And you know, Jesus is coming. Amen? Jesus is coming. The King is coming. And He's coming quickly in Revelations 22 verse 7, 22 verse 20. Christ is coming. And He's coming on a cloud, and He's coming with a shout, and He's coming with a trump, and He's coming with a voice, and the dead and first shall rise, and those who are alive will meet Him in the air, and will forever be with the Lord. But the next verse, and that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18, but the next verse is so amazing, because it says, for us to comfort one another with those words. People today need comfort. Let your words be joy to their hearts. Let them receive comfort. And to try to find that comfort sometimes is missing from us. To try to rejoice always is just beyond my comprehension. But joy does blossom out of trouble. Trouble is the unknown. You might know of it. You might know where it's coming from. You might be able to identify it. But the results are unknown. We don't know where it's going. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know where it's taking us. But joy is a gift. Joy is from the Holy Spirit. And it can never be taken away. If you know Jesus Christ today, it's the fruit of the Spirit It is deposited within you. And it's something that God has given to us in even times of trouble. Wow. I don't want that. I don't want to go through that. But God's word, we get to rejoice in it. And that rejoicing through the word of God settles my heart. It settles my heart. It settles my mind. I don't have to interact with fear. I don't have to interact with insecurity. I don't have to interact with negativity. I can interact with the joy of the Lord. Because it's a promise that's given to me, and I can choose to live upon that promise. And promises are all before us. They're all there. 68:19, He daily loads us with promises. He daily loads us with benefits. Some of us are tripping over them. We don't even know they're there. Because we're too preoccupied with the trouble. The trouble has gripped us. And when the trouble grips us, the promises of God are so far away instead of so close and near to my heart because of truth, because of what God's doing. So I get to rejoice, and I don't need to, you know, a troubled heart deprives me. It deprives me from fellowshipping with the finished work. It deprives me from knowing who I am in the new creation. And then so many people are struggling with these troubles and these setbacks. And it's like we just can't push through. And I need to learn to interact and rejoice. Because in that, God shares His life with me. As I rejoice, I don't need to be depraved. Christ has given us all spiritual blessings, church. All spiritual blessings are available for us. So I'm going to rejoice in the finished work. Because I can. Because I can. Because you can. And I'm gonna rejoice that I'm forgiven. Does everybody know that they are forgiven in Christ today? You're forgiven. I'm gonna rejoice in that. I'm gonna rejoice in my new identity. I'm gonna rejoice in the grace of God. I'm gonna rejoice in the love of God. I'm gonna choose to rejoice in these things. And I'm gonna count it all joy. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna purpose that in my heart. I'm going to purpose that in my heart. And when we do that, it doesn't mean the troubles go away. They're there. But I'm choosing to fellowship with what Christ has given me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. God is good.
Thanks. Okay. Good morning. It's a great morning, huh? Real joy, true joy. I'll leave you with two verses in our closing prayer. 1:15-21 of Proverbs says, "A fool, there, you know, it's interesting. Joy to a fool, joy to a man without sense, the Hebrew says, has no sense, is folly. And folly is joy to a man with no sense. But a man of understanding will continue to walk straight forward." That's false joy. But real joy, I thought of in, how about in Job 38, when Job, the guys finally let God talk, and he said, "Where were you when I made the universe?" You remember that? 38:1. And in 7, he says, "Were you around when the morning star folks were singing and the sons and daughters of God were shouting for joy?" That's our future. That's real joy. So let's stand up and shout for joy. This is our lives. God bless you for coming today. This is our country. This is our destiny. We are pilgrims here. We are in the family of God. This is we are kindred. We are related one to another by the blood of Christ. And what we've heard today and what we've experienced today and the laughter and the anointing and the opportunity we have in this country still exists. Woe unto us if we don't preach this gospel. God bless America. We still have the freedom to walk into a place and be a fool for Christ. If you can't do that, come to me. We can talk to you about that. We still have an opportunity in this country to keep the proper focus, to be so spiritual that we're broken and humbled in the sight of God, to send people out, to raise money for the right causes, to live our lives as soul winners, as people who care about the destiny of our neighbors. When C.S. Lewis met his wife, Joy, he wrote this book, Surprised by Joy. And you know what he said to her? He said, there are three things that I always want to cast down in my mind, and I want to change them as often as I can. First thing, number one, my idea about God. Number two, my idea about my neighbors. And number three, my idea about myself. Cast them down, because you are just what Pastor Kent said, just what Jack said, just what Pastor Barnes said. We are men and women of God, and I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you? Hallelujah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. We thank you that light is sown for the righteous and for the upright in heart. There is joy. Nachon, Pastor Ben? For the upright in heart, there is joy, 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 joy. And one last thing. I just got a text as well. I don't get it out because my jeans are too tight, but my phone, but I got a text from, my daughter Ava works for the head of the Shakespeare Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. And I just got a text from him. We've been planning this all along, and he's willing to give a date for us to have a reunion in the former Bible Speaks property. How would you like that? Okay, so it's going to be only one night. It will be in the fall. I talked to Pastor Schauer, Pastor Love about it. We haven't set a date yet. You can find me. Everybody just email Jenny Perry if you want information. And we're going to make T-shirts up. The Bible still speaks. Philippians 4:13. Okay? If you come to that event. And so because of so many people standing, we'll just, one night in Lenox with Pastor Schauer preaching, we'll just stir it up again. Okay? Just a great reunion. Won't that be good? That will be a time of joy and rejoicing. When we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Huh? I can't wait. So, Father, bless us, dismiss us in this anointing. Bless our day. Keep us hydrated. Keep us safe. Yeah, traveling on these roads and the plains, wherever we go, we are not taking it for granted one iota that we have safety in you. We have security in you, and we have great joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.